The gospel this morning comes from Mark 3, 20 through 35. And he came home, and the crowd gathered again to such an extent that they could not even eat a meal. When his own people heard of this, they went out to take custody of him, for they were saying he has lost his senses. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he is possessed by Beelzebub, and he casts out demons by the ruler of the demons. And he called them to himself and began speaking to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, the house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but he is finished. But no one can enter the strong man's house and plunder his property unless the first man binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Truly, I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven the sons of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will Spirit never has forgiveness. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Because they were saying he has an unspoken spirit. Then his mother and his brothers arrived, and standing outside, they sent word to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Answering to them, he said, who is my mother and my brothers? Looking about at those who were seated around him, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. This is the reading. Thank you.
Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. I was somewhat amused when I read this scripture from the Gospel of Mark. Some of you may believe that I'm preaching a sermon that I preached some weeks ago when I talked about what makes us family and how Jesus redefined family. But that is not what I'm going to be talking about this morning. My conversation with you this morning is about binding the strong man. Now, today's gospel reading is about a journey home. Jesus is engulfed by crowds. His family had heard reports of what had taken place in Capernaum, and they went out to restrain him, for people were saying he has gone out of his mind. Jesus was perceived by them to be out of his mind. In other words, Jesus was considered to be crazy. In some cultures, they would say Jesus was considered to be a madman. Now, this story is also reported in Matthew and also Luke, but omits what one scholar calls this brief and potentially embarrassing notice. We wouldn't want to hear in church that Jesus is crazy. The family had come to retrieve him and check him into a sanatorium for an extended period of rest and reality therapy. To make matters worse, scribes from Jerusalem pushes in ahead of them with an even more serious criticism. He has Beelzebul. It's a contemporary name for the devil. And by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons. The attempt to label Jesus as a messenger of Satan rather than a messenger of God. They have come from Jerusalem, foreshadowing that city as the scene of Jesus' eventual humiliation and death. So what do we have here? First, Jesus' family comes to get him out because he is beside himself. Second, the scribes come to get Jesus because he is demon-possessed. And then verses 31 through 34 of that text says, Jesus' family summons him again because they are claiming to be his family. And that is what his family consists of blood relatives. But that was not to be the case. Now, several years ago, I met a young theologian by the name of Ched Myers, who is my mentor. And he claims to the contrary. He says that I am his mentor. But anyhow, he wrote a book called Binding the Strong Man. And he says that Mark recognizes that the two pillars of communal authority are the clan and also the state. And they both work together to domesticate people under the status quo. And in the ancient Mediterranean world, the kinship system determined personhood and identity, controlled vocational prospects, and facilitated overall socialization. Jesus' family sought to rein him in, no doubt, for his own protection as well as for the sake of their reputation after his clash with the scribal investigators. Family members redouble their efforts to restrain Jesus. And Mark underlines the tension that is there. And in Mark's writings, he talks about the disciples and the crowds are inside the home, while the family is outside the home. Jesus understands that in order to weave an alternative social fabric, the most basic conventions and constraints of kinship must be questioned. Who are my mother and my brothers? And he concludes the scene by redefining family as whoever does the will of God. A radical proposition in any cultural system. It is radical enough to bring you and I together, and we claim to to be family. Doesn't it sound crazy that we can be family? A person from Cuba, a person from the Virgin Islands, a person from the Caribbean, a person from any of the states, a person from Boston, we can all claim to be family. Part of the radical Jesus family. Radicalism is not something that talks about extreme positions of progressiveness. Love becomes even radical itself. That we can love, and love is at the center of who we are. And not only that, Jesus does something that is so important. And what is important is that Jesus, being beside himself, gets rid of demons. Gets rid of the demons that the scribal authorities were possessed by. Got rid of the demons that persons were possessed by because they were not doing the will of God. Family, the Jesus family, transcends our blood connection. It transcends all that this world considers to be vital and important. Not that family isn't important, but we are of a greater family. We have embraced the whole universe. We have embraced the world because we are in love with Jesus, and Jesus continues to be in love with us. Now, Jesus had to say something to the authorities, and it was stated in a kind of riddle. How can Satan cast out Satan? A kingdom divided cannot stand. A divided house cannot stand. Satan, divided in revolt against himself, cannot stand, but is coming to an end. The answer to the riddle of whether Satan can cast out Satan then is that Jesus, the stronger one, heralded by John the Baptist, intends to overthrow the strong man, and that is the scribal establishment represented by the demon. And Mark appears to have taken his cue from Isaiah, where Isaiah says, "The captives of the strong one will be liberated. The prey of the tyrant will be rescued." The true political geography of Jesus' apocalyptic struggle with Satan has now been revealed. Jesus ends the debate by issuing a blanket pardon, underscored with the first of many solemn amen sayings in Mark. Excluded by definition, however, are those who demonize acts of healing and justice. A Latin American theologian says, "The real sin against the Holy Spirit is refusing to recognize with theological joy some concrete liberation that is taking place before one's very eyes." Jesus' vision of the kingdom challenges both our domesticating family and the dominating state. No wonder radical discipleship remains marginal in our churches. There is a strong command in this text to give God the glory when we see demons exercised and evil thwarted. There's a strong command to get out of the way of Jesus' outrageous and gracious power. Those who impede God's attempts to heal our world are the ones who are out of their minds. We are not out of our minds. Those who stand in the way of God's attempts to redeem relationships are the ones with unclean spirits. The future of the human family depends perhaps on our insanity as Christian people. People who have perhaps gone mad with love, gone mad with justice, gone mad with peace. And we know the story well. In the Gospels, Jesus dies, and the Satan appears to survive and thrive, but on that great resurrection morning, we gained the victory because the resurrected Jesus lives, and that the power of evil has been mortally wounded. God is with us. And even if we are the crazy people called Christians, the world can live with us, because the future of the world is cast into a mold which God has made for you and for me. We must recognize that the strong man is Jesus. Jesus is stronger than evil, and evil cannot overcome righteousness. Amen.